Okay, so let's read through the Rashi again very quickly. We did yesterday the first part of Rashi. Let's just run through it again. It's the very beginning. Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph Adam Sheis Enosh, the first pasuk. Ezra Kos Sefer HaYachas Hazeh Aydei Chagai Zchar Malachi Mitoch Yud Cheshana Shemios Hazman Shabal Yushalayim Zerubavel VYehoshua Akoin Dinei Koresh Rishon. That was Koresh Melech Paras At Shabal Koresh Ben Esther, until we discussed yesterday, came to power, until he actually arrived. Then he also came to visit at 18 years later. Why is the sefer written? The purpose of the sefer was ordered to trace the lineage of David HaMelech, the Halavim, l'shoyarim, those that would serve as the gatekeepers, u'l'shoyimrim, and the guards, u'l'mshoyimrim, and the singers. Exactly in how David positioned them on, appointed them to their station. To their mishma. So we discussed all these little details yesterday in great depth. Now let's go further. So now he's coming to explain, if we really want to trace the lineage of David, why do we have to go all the way back to the very beginning? So the answer is, well, we do. We have to go back to Adam. But being that we only want to trace the lineage of David, we don't need to mention every single person mentioned in Tanakh. We're going to be selective. Yichsei me Adam the ad Avraham. We first go from Adam until Avraham. Lefisha hutzrach liyaches es Avraham. Once already we need to miyaches Avraham. Hiskir gam shor ha'oivdei kochavim umazolos. So we're going to see, list the 70 nations of the world. We're going to have a long list, all these charts, all these tables, different people that I mentioned. Once we're going to list Avraham, we're going to list all of his contemporaries, people that lived during his time, and all of his descendants, Ubnei Banav, period. Umishum Banav, Tzach Liaches Sharak, and because of the children of Avraham, we're also going to Liaches trace the lineage of Sharakum, Bnei Kenan. The other Oved Koychav Mazolos of Canaan, Lahidia Heach Yorash Avraham Es Artsam. This really goes back to the first Rashi in Chumash. That's exactly what he's doing over here, like this like a microcosm. As we mentioned yesterday, this is a microcosm of Chamisha Chumshe Torah. It's fascinating that we want to show that Hashem created the world and He gave the Eretz Yisrael to these nations originally, but later came along Avraham and he was given these nations. Hashem gave it to who He wanted, and Hashem took it away from them because of their sins and gave it to Avraham. Avraham es artsam. Avraham inherited their land. Once we already have to mention the nations of Canaan, which will eventually fall to the nation of Klal Yisrael, to the descendants of Avraham. Hiskel Gabam Shor Oivdeit Koychavim Umazolois. We mentioned the other nations. So everything one leads into another. Umaskidom Ma'at Ma'at. Now here begins a new concept. We mention them little by little. Umashlicham, and we cast them away. So we're going to mention basically all of the psoilas, all of the nations which are not important, only for the purpose of extracting the nations which are important, which will serve as the foundation for Avraham and for Klal Yisrael and for David HaMelech. At Shigia Le'ikar. So these are very important words. Umazkiram me'at me'at umashlicham. We mention these nations little by little. We cast them away. Ad shegia le'ikar, until we reach to what is important. Ken mefarish bebreishus rabba. Now here we give a mashal. Mashal adam shahaya oivem makom makom v'nafle margolios. A person was traveling from place to place, and he had a pearl in his possession, and the pearl fell out of his hand. The amat adam. And a person, he got up, kavar b'kavara ha'afar, he took a sieve, and he sifted all of the sand, at shemotza margolios, until he finds the pearl. And that's what we're doing over here. All of these nations, the pearl is Avraham, and Klal Yisrael, and David. They have fallen in the sand, and we have to sieve, we have to sift through the sin until we find this precious pearl, which is the purpose of this sefer. Kach Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mali Liyaches Shem Yar Pachshad. Why should we bother being Liyaches Shem and our Pachshad? The Terach. Ela Limsoy Li Avraham, to find Avraham, the precious pearl that's mingled in the sand. Umatsasa es livavo neman lefonecha. So here is the key word. Now we know Pshan the Pasuk. We have this, we say this in Divrei Hayim, we say this in Davening. Umatsasa. Why? What does it mean, Umatsasa? You have found. So we now have already, before we even begin the sefer, we already have a parish in davening in davening, matzasa es levavo neman lefonecha. Before we begin the psukim from Nehemiah, v'charosi mo habris, but we begin first with psukim in Divrei Hayamim, and there it says you have found. Finding means that Avraham was lost among the sand, among the psoilus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sifted through the sand until he found the precious pearl. Okay, that's one concept. Now we come to another idea. Now this is an amazing insight. These next few words. Yiches b'nei Esav uvi Yishmael. Now I'm not sure why uvnei Keturah. I don't know why it's the kavod of Yitzhak that we relate to Yishmael and b'nei Keturah. Umashlichon ma'at ma'at. Okay, I don't know. I was puzzled by this. I still am. What does it mean? The kvoidoy of Yitzchak, we trace the lineage of Esav, of Yishmael, and b'nei Keturah. Why is that the kvoidoy shel Yitzchak? One thing we understand, the kvoidoy shel Yitzchak, we understand we're going to trace what? The kvod of Yitzchak, we're going to trace the lineage of Esav. That we understand. Yitzchak has two sons, Yaakov and Esav. Now, as far as we're concerned, Esav is our arch enemy. Esav, Soini, Yaakov, Halacha, B'yodim, Esav, Soini, Yaakov, we just have tsaris, nothing but tsaris from Esav. Yet, that's from our perspective who are banim. But from the perspective of Yitzchak, these are his children. I mean, it's an amazing thing to say such a thing. We can't relate to this because we're the bonim. But Yitzchak, every father has a child, no matter how big the child is. This is my son. Father does not want to hear that his son is evil. Yeah.
Could be the same idea as Arameo Oved Ovi. You say in the Haggadah. So the explanation of that is to show how.
And then
how we
delivered
the
Besolus
and got down to Yaakov and
same idea in the Haggadah. Yeah. Arami, Ovid, Aviv, we trace in the lineage. Okay, in the Chanami, it's the same idea.
As opposed to.
But he's saying here a very powerful term. This Mefarash, it's not Rashi, this Mefarash is saying a very powerful term, which he repeats again in a few words, again, the same idea. When you look today in the world, okay, you look at the United States, you look at the European nations, these are all descendants of Yitzchak. And they have a certain respect, and they call shots in this world. We know they do. I mean, that's the way the world goes. Who's in control? I mean, the superpowers of the world. And who are the superpowers of the world? Primarily, the descendants of Esav. These are B'nai Esav. We want to talk about the Arab nations. The Arab nations, I don't think, are the major players in the world. Okay, they have influence. They have tremendous influence. But the Metzias is... So, what?
That's what I've been trying to tell you all along.
What?
What you just said.
They don't have.
This is what I've been...
Esav, they are major league players in this world. And Gaulis, that's just the way it is, whether you like it or not. And... We look at it, Kal Yisrael, it's just a thorn in our side. But from Esav's perspective, it's Kevoidoi Shel. From Yitzchak's perspective, Yitzchak, who is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it's a covet for him. That's what it says. Umibnei Kevoidoi Shel Yitzchak, the honor of Yitzchak, Yiches B'nei Esav. Now he says here these words. I don't know if this is some type of corruption of the text or this is this. It's precise. It's also the covenant of Yitzchak to trace the lineage of Yishmael because that was his brother. right? Yitzchak has a brother, so you like to hear about your brother. There are three different pieces of paper. What?
Distinction
between a brother and a son.
Yitzchak,
yeah.
As opposed to be the most important one, other than and unlike Ishmael or Esau.
Okay. It's just very interesting what it says.
Yeah.
B'nai Esav, Yishmol, B'nai Keturah, these are his brothers. Yishmol and B'nai Keturah are his nephews.
Rashi didn't write this because of...
Rashi would say this. Rashi wouldn't say...
Because he wouldn't be as imprecise as
Okay, I don't know. We don't know.
Rashi didn't write
this. Rashi did not write this. This is called Mefarish. This is someone that was in Rashi's time, or a little bit after Rashi, who put this together, but this is not from Rashi, even though it's on the page. Rashi, it's Mefarish, yeah?
Another means to go along with the fact that you know that Rashi didn't write this because the reason he's using over here is that the Parsha Shemos, when it goes Parshas Va'era, when it goes into the it says B'nei Ruvain and it goes on and it stops from Moshe. So the Malm over there says essentially what he just said, just to find Moshe, because it stops as soon as it gets to the Levi, doesn't say Yehuda and so on and so forth. Rashi doesn't say that over here.
What does Rashi say?
I forgot what Rashi just glosses over the fact that he's not.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't comment.
This is a typical style of Rashi.
Malbim does, though. Uh-huh. He says this. What Rashi says here.
It's not Rashi's
Rashi
style.
Over there.
It's not Rashi's style of being.
The word exactly, yeah. Margolius. You're looking for a diamond in the sand and you find it, so you stop.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but he makes a Rashi.
Okay, so same. Let's go further. Umashlichon. Umashlichon ma'at ma'at, umanichon, and then. And then as we go through these children, the Kvoidoi Shel Yitzchak, to mention all of the descendants of Yitzchak, all of the descendants of Yishmol, all of the descendants of B'nai Keturah, and then we just dispose of them, we cast them to the side. Umanichon, Ubnei Seir HaChori Maske, why do we mention, we're going to mention later on, the children of Seir HaChori Maske, Alki, B'nei Esav Yershom. Now B'nei Seir HaChori, they're not descendants of Esav. So there's going to be difficulty. Why? We'll see where they come from later on as we go through the charts. Why are the descendants of Seir HaChori, of this nation called Chori, why they mention? Because Esav conquered Seir. Kila Esav Nasati Ishar Seir. So even though this nation Chori is not part of the line, it comes from a different line which was not important, it's not part of the original descendants, we are still going to mention them because since Esav will conquer their land and will dwell there, and we do want to give cover to Esav, so we mention them as well. B'nei Esav Yiroshim inherited their land. The Gamul, so another reason why we do so, Li'yiches. The Gamul Esav Nasati is Har Seir. Okay, so there's another parallel. Oh, so we mentioned the land as well. Interesting point. So the parallel between the Haggadah and what he's saying here is interesting. The Gamul Li'yiches Timna Shenaseis Pilegesh Levnei Avraham. We're also going to trace the lineage of Timna because she became a Pilegesh to Levnei. She was the daughter of a king of a nation, and she became a Pilegesh to Esav. Shenas Pilegesh Levnei Avraham Lehoid. We want to highlight the praise of Avraham. This woman, Timna. And by the way, Rashi here is telling us that Timna was a woman, which is very common because we're going to learn later on if we get a chance that someone, Timna was not a woman. Timna was a man. And then you have to read the passage. Well, a place name? Okay, we'll see. So this is something which is not so simple, but here we're going to learn that Timna is that, I mean, that's the simple understanding that it was a woman. And it says here, what?
It's true that there is another Timna.
A Timna that's a man, but sometimes there's a whole way to read the pasuk. There's another interpretation of how to read the pasuk in Chumash. Perhaps we'll get to that. But over here, according to this in the first, she's learning and telling us very soon that Timna was a woman. And who was she? She was the daughter of Benos Nisim Aluf. And daughter, not only her, but all the others were daughters of princes and leaders. Verotzis Salihios Pilegesh, she was willing to abandon her nation, royalty, and be just the maidservant of Pilegesh, a concubine for Lezera Avraham. And the Chsiv, it says, Va'achois Loiton Timna, the sister of Loiton, which is one of the nations that was a king, which we'll see maybe a little bit later on, was Timna. Uchsiv Timna, Haisa Pilegesh was the Pilegesh to one of the descendants of Avraham, which we'll see later as we go to the Psukim. Ella, so why then do we, why did that happen? Ella, Lefish Amra, in Eini Kedai Li Nase Lo Li Isha, if I can't marry into the family of Avraham Avinu as a regular wife, Ehelo Pilegesh, it's worthy, I'd rather be a Pilegesh to Avraham rather than be a princess among my nation. So that's why we mentioned Timna, because Timna to show it's all in the all direct in the Shvachoi Shel Avraham. Another reason why we mention B'nai Seir, besides the fact that Avraham, that Esav conquered their land, Shahim Hayu Alufim Mumlochim, they were princes and kings, Vahar Seir Shal Seir Hoya, Avas Yitzchak, and due to the love of Yitzchak, Nasna Kalashbarhu Le Esav, because Hashem loved Yitzchak, he gave it to his son. Again, the same idea once again, that from our perspective, it's hard for us to understand. We hate Esav. Esav, Halacha biyadenu Esav sonei Yaakov. Esav, the blood of Klal Yisrael is on the hands of Esav. But yet, from the perspective of Esav, it's my son. It's my son, and you care. It's just a natural thing that a father cares for his son. And Yitzchak was chav in the eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and there the kavoidai of Yitzchak. We mentioned the descendants and the kavoidai and the avas Yitzchak. Hashem gave to Esav land. He gave them kark. He gave them the earth to conquer, to possess. Over avas Yitzchak nis nitna Kadosh Baruch Hu Esav d'siv ne Esav yirashim vayeshu tachtam. That's really similar to what he says above. I'm not exactly sure how you would differentiate this section of the Rashi from what he said above, but the same idea. Only Odia Kiyum Divrei Kadosh Baruch Hu Shama LeYitzchak LeHarbos Zaro, to show that Kadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled his promise to Yitzchak to increase his seed. Only Hashlitoi Bechol, to give him control over the entire world. Only Shul Kavoidoi Shal Yitzchak Kasav Kamei Kain Elaham. Again, because of the Kavod of Yitzchak, he says once again Elaham Alachem Shemach Biyaretz Edom VeGomer. We're going to have a long list of all the kings that came from Esav before there was a king for the Klal Yisrael. He already had 11 kings. The 11 and Alufim of Esav, we're going to mention later on, all because of Kavoidoi Shel Yitzchak. So if I'm not mistaken, in this Rashi, three times, he emphasizes the Kavoidoi Shel Yitzchak. The Kavoidoi Shel Yitzchak, by listing all of his descendants, plus his brother, and his nephews. That's what Rashi said, take it literally, Yishmael, it says that. Kavoidoi Shel Yitzchak, his children, and his brother, and his descendants. And secondly, Rashi says, Kavoidoi Shel Yitzchak, we mention Seir, because Seir was the land that was conquered, even though Seir has nothing to do with the line of David, the line of Avraham, but because of the Kavoidoi Shel Yitzchak, Seir was the land which will be conquered by the Bnei Esav. And the Bnei Kavoidoi, in the third example, we mention all of the kings. What do we care about all the kings which came from Esav, all of his descendants? Kavoidoi Shel Yitzchak. So one thing you take away from today's shiur is such a concept. When you look at this world and you see that Esav is successful, they build nations. You go to these conventions.
He gave a bracha.
Hashem gave a bracha. That's what Rashi says.
That's the
fulfillment of the bracha. Laharba Zaroi.
That's a
kavod
for
Esav. For Yitzchak. For Yitzchak.
That his blessing was fulfilled even for
right.
Esav.
This is a very broad Rashi. This is not, you know, this is not, you go to these conventions where Esav is, you know, that's the whole theme. Christianity. But it's an amazing insight, because we live in a world where we try to be very narrow and we shelter ourselves, we stay away. But when you look at the big picture of the world, you got to look at the world from a different perspective. Don't just look at it from your little narrow perspective. What?
It's not Judeo-centric.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, you learn Yeshaya, you learn it over and over, that Yeshaya's role is, Rabbi Schwab talks about this, we think Mashiach is going to come, Mashiach is all for us. Rabbi Schwab, he writes, I have to find precisely where he says this, make sure I'm not making a mistake, is that's not necessarily true. We're not going to really want Mashiach. We have our own Rabbanim. Everyone has their own Rav, their own Rabbanim. Klal Yisrael pretty much can take care of themselves. The primary role of Mashiach is going to be for the world. The world's in a lot of trouble. The world is sick. spiritually very sick. They need a lot of help. Klal Yisrael, we need a little bit of Mashiach to help us, to get us going. He'll prod us, and once he'll get us going, we won't really need to consult with him all that much. Mashiach's primary role is the world. The world? So you ask the average Orthodox, who cares about the world? The world is not what we're focused on. Klal Yisrael. We're focused on ourselves. Okay, that's true. It's true, but there's also a bigger picture to the world, which we unfortunately don't have the ability to focus on because of Golus. And in this pasuk, we're dealing with Ikvus the Mashiach.
And you never see
the
good that exists in others.
In other nations.
But we're so conditioned by
Golus.
Terrible Golus.
Terrible Golus, exactly. It's hard for us to look outside the box, to think outside the box. Absolutely. But this whole Sefer Divrei Hayam is in times of the Mashiach, and I cannot emphasize enough this first Rashi, this concept, which we're not even touching upon the depth of what it really means, but there is such a concept called Kivoido Yishel Yitzchak. Not Kvoida Shel Avram, not Kvoida Shel Yaakov, a concept called Kvoida Shel Yitzchak. Kvoida Shel Yitzchak are Bnei Esav, which is the European nations today, we assume, right? And it's America, right? Not the, and then there's also secondary Yishmael and Bnei Keturah, which also, if you take Rashi literally, he's the brother. That's the brother. Yishmael is the brother of Esav. So it's a covet for the brother also. You know, you make a simcha, you invite your brother.
He's the one that's at the junction of the two. Because being the brother and to one and the father to the other, none of the other of us.
So you're saying that Avraham is more distant. Because Avraham is only a grandfather. So grandfather's relation to the children, to the grandchildren, is more distant. Yitzchak is a better break point, because he's a brother on the one hand, and you're a brother you have a very close relationship with, and you have also children, so you're better conditioned to have an influence over everything. Whereas Avraham, he may have influence over Yishmael, but he doesn't have influence over the grandchildren as much, the Bnei Esav. Very good point you're making. Okay, but again, emphasize, hit hard this idea, Kvoido Shel Yitzchak. Okay, next Rashi, let's finish with the Rashi. Adam Sheis and Enosh Pisroinai, these three words, what does it mean? The interpretation is, Kmo Bnei, you have to add a lot of missing words into the pasuk. Bnei Adam, who is the son of Adam? Sheis. Ubnei Sheis, Enosh. You have to add the word Bnei. It's not that there are three people who created at the same point in time. Obviously not. Adam fathered Sheis, and Sheis fathered Enosh. Ulufi Shein Iker Hayachas, because that's not the Iker lineage. Mikatsran, we just mentioned them, we're very sure. The Mashalitzker kind of have, what happened to Kain and Hevel? Very fundamental question, which is a theme which goes through the entire Sefer Divrei Hayamim. We're not going to mention everyone. We're selective. Selective yichud. Like, this is certain people. You know where he comes from. He's an enikel of so-and-so. Yet selective yichud. He's also an enikel of this person that was a big troublemaker. And this one that was a big troublemaker. You only present the good yichud. Selective yichud. How come we are being so selective? We're not mentioning Kain and Hevel. So Rashi says, Mashal Yisro Kain and Hevel, Lufi Shaloi Hamidu Toldois, because they did not produce generations. From them, they were destroyed at the time of the Mabul. All of their children were destroyed at the time of the Mabul, so there's nothing that is left from them. Therefore, there's no reason to mention them. Avol Mishes Yatsu told us Noyach, the Avraham, Avraham, Adav. That's why we are selective. Okay, now that we've gone to the first Rashi, now let's go, let's just go through the Psukim now very quickly with some of the charts. Okay, let's see. Now of the Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis. Now let you take a look at, let's first look at the chart, this chart. Okay, Reish Dalet. It's the page number, Teras Maram. See, it's called Teras Maram, this page, where it says on the top right side, Reish Dalet, on the top line, Teras Maram, and you have over here, you have these. So here we have over here the first 10 generations. So we already went to the first three, Adam, Sheis, and Enosh. Then Enosh had a son called Canaan. Then he had a son called Mahalalel. And then a grandson called Yored. Now this is very interesting, because if you learn Chumash, you never pick this up. This new chidushim, because Ilon Chomesh, there are 10 generations. You would never break up the 10 generations into the tzach hadash b'achav. Like there are 10 makas. Rabbi Yehuda hayinoisin v'hem simonim. You know, it's an incredible thing that he's done. These three are a category. And once he wakes, oh wow, now we can go look back in Chumash and look and understand why Dafka, this one there was Hasra, and this there was no Hasra, and the time periods started in Midrashim. You have to start with the fundamental principle that don't look at the 10 Makos as just 10 Makos. Break them up into 3, 3, and 4. That's Tzach Hadash B'Achav. When you go through the first 10 generations, if you would not have these Pesukim and Divrei Hayyam, you would just say, no, there are 10 generations. What Divrei Hayyam, Ezra has done here for us, is he's basically, he's the predecessor of Rabbi Yehuda. He's broken up the first 10 generations into 3, 3, and 4. Adam, Sheis, Enosh is a team, as we mentioned yesterday, that concept of the Yitzir Kap of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the Yitzir Kap of Adam, which was perfect, and then came the weakness, the failure of the Enosh. Now we go to another set, Kenan, Maha, Lalel, and Yored. Now Kenan, according to the Medrash, means Enosh bequeath, Kenan, Lashon of Kenyan, but not in the form of receiving, but of transmission, to bequeath, Hifil. Canaan means he gave over, he caused others to acquire. What did he cause to acquire? The next generation, Chazal are extremely critical, wickedness. Because since Enosh was the beginning of Avodah Zarah, Enosh was, as we mentioned yesterday, was the beginning of man's failure. Enosh means, literally in Aramaic, it means illness, sickness. And in this context, it means spiritual sickness due to the decay of society. Os huchalikro b'shem Hashem. The next generation got even worse. The generation of Enosh bequeathed to the next generation the worst of the worst, wickedness, and that's why he's called. I made a mistake. Canaan grew up in the generation of Enosh, and he naturally became wicked, and he gave over to the next generation of Mahalalel wickedness. So let's take a step back. Enosh was a generation where things began to decay,
deteriorate.
And then Canaan grew up in that generation. He grew up in the generation of Enosh. He was the son of Enosh. And he fully absorbed the deterioration of the generation, and he in turn went and gave that over to the next generation. That's why he is called Canaan. He gave over to the next generation horrible, horrible things. But then we reach rock bottom. This is a blueprint, template for history. Go in cycles. Tzadikim, Deben, Vayishman, Yeshurun, Vayivot, you get a little carried away. You slide, then all of a sudden you lose control, and then ultimately you hit rock bottom. I read an article recently in one of these magazines that many addicts, the only time they can get better, it's a very unfortunate thing, is only after they hit rock bottom. As long as they're nishtahi, nishtaher, they're in the middle, it's hard to come to reality, to come in and to recognize that a person is addicted to something. Unfortunately, many times, more often than not, a person will only go and seek professional help for an addiction only when he has reached rock bottom. And that's exactly what has happened over here. Canaan bequeathed to the next generation rishis. They reach now rock bottom with the combination of Enosh and Canaan, and then they began to go up. They realize this, the world can't go on like this. They have to return to Hashem. And that's Mahalalel, means Halel Kel, to praise Hashem. It was a movement, a tshuva movement. It was a movement of tshuva where they returned once again to Hashem.
What's the relationship between 4 and 5 days?
Canaan, just be quick. Canaan was a product of...
I'm talking about... family. One was a son.
Yes, correct. Mahalala was a son. Uskanan, correct. These are all sons. Every single one are sons, correct. They're all, these are no, we're not skipping any generations here. We're going direct to sons. They live very long. They live 500 years.
Like you're filtering out all the other names.
Right. These are the main. Each one had other sons as well. Vayoldu banim banos. They lived at home. They banim banos. What happened to those banim banos? We don't know. They all disappeared in the marble. They were all gone. So when the Torah also does not list all of their children. We're just listing the heads of the family, and they live very long years. 400, 500, 600, 700. The Torah we have. They live long lives. So now we come to Mahalalel. He lashon of. Praise, he began to turn the tide upwards. And then we come to Yored. Yored was, there was a Yerida in his generation. Just give me one second. I forgot the meaning of Yored. Just give me one second. What do we know about Yored in this cycle? Shem Chem Enosh? No, I don't know. Okay, Yored, I don't remember. Yored, Lashon of Yared, means there was a Yerida in the Dor. I think it means the cycle again repeated itself. That again, once again, after Mahalalel went up, the cycle repeated itself, they went back down. Yored was a Yerida, Lashon of Yerida, the generation's spiritual stature descended once again, similar to what happened before. Now we come to the next three. Okay, we have three, three, and three. A new cycle. The new cycle is Chanoch, Misushelach, and Lomech. Pasik Gimel. Chanoch, Misushelach, and Lomech. Chanoch is Chaviv. Chanoch, as I'll tell us, was. Let me read you a beautiful medrash. Okay, this medrash starts with this. Let me find it. Give me one second. Chanoch, the medrash is it's a gra. The gra's, if you have it in gra's gedolos, it's a gra. The gra says who hashviv who amuvchar. Chanoch is the seventh. Right, you count the generations. Every seventh is the most precious. For example, he gives a whole number of examples. The seventh day of the week is the most precious. Okay, we're coming soon to the Yom Tov of Shavuos. That comes after Sheva, Shabbosos, Tmimos. And we have Shonim in years, Shnas HaShmita. V'chein ba'anashim, Moshe, here he quotes that Moshe was the Shvihi Li Avraham. Moshe Rabbeinu was seven generations down from Avraham. David was the seventh. David, the who hashvi, the seventh son. I thought he was the eighth son, but I guess not. He was the seventh son. But David, the who hashvi, and Rabbeinu Hakadosh, who wrote the Mishnayis, was shvi Hillel. He was the seventh generation from Hillel. Same way that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah, he was the seventh generation from Avraham. Likewise, Hillel was seven. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who put in writing the Torah Sheh Baal Peh, was seven generations from Hillel, one of the first Nasi, who represented also Torah Sheh Baal Peh. And here comes from Chanoich. Chanoich here was the most chav from the beginning of the creation. He was the most precious of the generations. He's called Chanoch. Now, why is he called Chanoch? Some of them, there's a medrash, I don't know what the medrash is, that says he was the first one to receive an education. Until this point in time, I saw this, I think, in the art scroll. Until this point in time, can you get the door? Can you open the door? Until this point in time, children learned Torah on their own. They grew up, and they studied Torah on their own. There was no formal education. Chanoch was the first person, the first child that was raised from his youth, was taught, had an education. Said that we take for granted, but this was a novel concept in ancient times. You have a child, let the child figure things out on his own. You're going to teach the child? Chanoch comes from Chinuch. He was the first person that had an education. And that opens up a whole new world. And if that's really true, and that Shmi is the most chav, it automatically indicates is that seven, everything of seven, all represents the concept of education. Shabbos, you have to understand how Shabbos relates to the idea of chinuch. and all the other sevens. But it's an interesting point that why Chanoch is called by the name Chanoch Loshon of Chinuch, which means to teach. It means to inaugurate, but also means to teach. Okay, now we go to the next generation. We come now to Pasik. So Pasuk Gimel is Chanoch Misu Shalach and Lomech. Okay, these.
Is this the Chanoch who was taken early by?
Yes. This was the Chanoch that was taken by Kadosh Baruch Hu. He was taken. But Chanoch was taken by Kadosh Baruch Hu because Rashi says he would have sinned. Hashem saw in the future that he would have sinned. So Hashem did not want him to die at tzaddik and not die evil. So Hashem took him to Shemayim prematurely. Misu Shalach, we know that the Mabul did not begin until the 7 days of Misu Shalach passed. Mr. Shalach died the same time of the Mabul, and he was a tzaddik, and they mourned for him for 7 days, and Hashem delayed the beginning of the Mabul in honor of Mr. Shalach. And then we have Lamech. Lamech, if I'm not mistaken, we know nothing about. Lamech is a very big mystery if he was a tzaddik or not. It says this, I think, in the art school, Diri Hayam, he quotes some source that he's one of the mysterious people of Tanakh. What was he? All the other ones, Adam, Sheis, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalal, Yared, Chanoch, Mr. Shalach, we have the first 8 generations, we have sources that tell us pretty much ideas what they were like. Kenan, we have different opinions. Kenan was a tzaddik. I told you pretty much that he was not. He was Moirish wickedness to his children, but some say no. The other Midrashim, Mahalal, Halal Ka, Yored, the generation of the Yerida, I think Yored also means that they started living here half the much shorter lifespans. Yored, until that point in time, they lived 800 years. And with Yored, it was decreased by half to 400 years or 200 years. I don't remember the exact numbers, but Yored, it was a Yerida, not just a Yerida spiritually, but it was a Yerida in the amount of years that people lived. Chanoch, we mentioned. Mr. Shalach, we know the Rashi was a tzaddik. But Lamech, he is the first generation, and we really do not know much about him. Then comes Noach. Then comes Noah. Now comes number 10 is Noach. Okay, Noach had 3 children. Pasuk Daled, Noach, Shem, Cham, Va, Yofes. Okay, so these are the first 10 generations in a nutshell. And again, and now we're not going, I don't know much, I didn't prepare that much for this idea, but it's something that when you study the 10 Makos and you learn about the Simonim, you can shtel tzu, and you can connect this. It's a fascinating insight that's only done in Divrei Hayamim to open up our eyes into Chamisha, into Chumash. Don't just look at the 10 generations as symbol 1 through 10. Look at them as 3, 3, 3, and then comes 10 as separate. And Noach is the father of Shem, Cham, and Yofes. And you have to study, don't ever study one of these 3 people alone. You have to study in part of a group, part of a chut hamishulosh, of a time period of 3 generations where something happened in this world teaching us some type of moral lessons. Very interesting point, yeah. Pirkei Avos doesn't begin with Adam. They don't go through these generations. It doesn't. In Echnami, because Pirkei Avos is not focusing on these psukim, and Pirkei Avos is not going to go through every single pasuk in Tanakh for you and tell you. But it's definitely the first few psukim in Divrei Hayamim. It opens up a whole new world of a way. It forces us to study a person not alone. You study a person part of 3 generations, at least in this series, 3 generations, they live very long lives. What their names, what they accomplished, what they did, it's a whole new way to look at that. Okay, let's go further. Now we come to Yefes. Now, Shem, Chom, Noach, Shem, Chom, Vayofes. Bnei Yefes. Now, before we go down to Shem, this is Rashi, so we first want to put aside the Psoilas. Okay, so we'll try to go through this very quickly. Now you have to look at this handout. This is just a superb. The art scroll did for us. It's the back of the Hebrew Shul Chumash. The back of the Hebrew Shul Chumash. You have this table. It's really one of a kind. It's something really very simple, but you look all over the place to find a table. It's hard to find something very simple, and this is done with such beauty, simplicity, perfection. Before we begin, take note that there are 70 nations, which are the descendants of Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Who is the oldest? The oldest is Yefes. And we're starting with him first. As that we'll see in a moment.
Yefes Hagadol, it says after the flood.
So Yefes was the oldest, simply we translate the pasuk that Yefes was the oldest. So the question right away is, why then in pasuk Dalet does it say Noach, Shem, Chom, and Yefes? So the answer is, even though Yefes really simply according to I think most mafarshim was the oldest, but he was not the most chashuv. From Yefes did not come Klal Yisrael. Chom was more chashuv. Chom, for whatever reason, was more chashuv than Yefes. Why? I don't know why. I do know not why. But he was cursed. Maybe that was after the curse. Maybe he had more potential. And maybe really indeed he was more distinguished. The higher you go, the lower you fall. I don't know the answer. I never thought about that.
The territories
where they're distributed. Mm-hmm. I don't have the Gor in front of me. Because the way they divide the land, which one conquered the land first? Okay, so there's another approach why they're mentioned in this order, but the simplest approach given is because Shem is the most chashuv. Seemingly, Chom was the second most chashuv, even though he was cursed. That was after the curse. Due to his sin, he lost his chashivos, and the descendants are slaves. Kenai. But it appears originally he had a higher stature than Yefes. Fascinating. Yafel came to Yefes, v'yishrim b'olei Shem.
Chom hasn't done any problem for the Jewish, but Yefet, the German killed.
Why? Chom was major problem. Canaan, the seven nations of Canaan waged wars.
They didn't so much as Bnei Yefet, 6 million Jews were killed by the.
Okay, you have to study the entire history to get to appreciate who caused more harm for Klal Yisrael. But now when we're going to list Bnei Yefet, we're listing them because. Pasuk is we return after we list them in the order of the chashivos. We now simply list them in order of age. And Yefes was the oldest. Let's now just hold on to the chart and go through the psukim. So Bnei Yefes, who are the Bnei Yefes? So we have over here first seven. Who is Yefes? Goimer, Umogoig, Umodai, Viovon, Visuvol, Umeshech, Visiras. Siras is Paras. Okay, number seven. The seventh nation is the ancestor of the nation of Paras. Paras Umodai, of Koiresh, the Pekida. He is mentioned over here in Pasuk. That's the first seven. Pasuk Vav. Uvnei Goimer. Now we're going to look at the children of Gomer. So you see on this chart how beautifully they did this for us. Number one, and number one goes down to the bottom, to the extreme right side of Ashkenaz, Uvnei Gomer, Ashkenaz. Now notice what it says, Vidifas, with a Dalit. Not Rifas. In Chumash, Al-Kuri is here. In Chumash, and you're used to learning, it's Rifas. So here it says, Vidifas Visogarma. So why is there a Dalit? So let's right away jump to the Rashi. We even ask Pasuk Vav in Rashi. With the Chumash Ksir Verifas Shemetchilo Hayu Rafin. When it's a Reish, it has a connotation of softness. They were very good to Klal Yisrael. V'lo hayu miskabim al Yisrael v'soif nismalu doifi. But then the dal, they turned into a hard. The reish and the dal are similar. Reish is soft, dal is hard. Duh is a harsher sound. They became rough. They became problematic for Klal Yisrael. They caused us a lot of tsar. So that's why here we are reflecting, interesting, another whole new insight into understanding Divrei Hayamim. We're looking now in hindsight. Or we're looking at a later point in time. In Chumash, we were focusing at that time. At the moment, it was Rifas. When they were first born, it was early in their history, they would still be good. Now, when we're focusing this 2,000-3,000 years later, we're looking backwards. Oh, you know, in hindsight, they weren't such tzaddikim, they weren't so soft. They were hard people, they caused us great difficulty. We're going to change their name to Difas. Defect.
No, there's another explanation.
You are a
dofi,
you need to
be with two vowels.
Aha,
uh-huh.
Double,
dofi,
do.
When you have
two, okay.
Vuchat Retzar as a.
Yeah.
It's a bad connotation.
The Vuchat Retzar and the Vuchat Net.
Vuchat Retzar as opposed to Netzar.
With a nun.
A nun and a resh.
Aha. Aha.
So,
So there's another idea. Interesting, right? So the idea is a Resh and a Nun. Here it's a Resh and a Dala. Interesting idea. This is God. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Now that we focused on Goyimer, now notice we're not going to focus on Mogog and Modai. There's no insignificant which came from them. All of their children that came from them are all included in the nation of Mogog. Right, Goyigu Mogog. Number two, Goyimer Goyigu Mogog is Yimos HaMashiach. So we're not going to focus on their children, because wherever children which came, they were all subsumed and did not become a separate nation. But we go down to Vav 4, to Yavon, Uvne Yavon, Elisha, Visar Shisha, Kitim, sometimes it's Kitim, here's Kitim, Viro Donim, and Ro Donim. So notice in Chumash, it's Do Donim. Another example. So why? So here we have another Rashi. Let's look at another Rashi. Rashi, Dibra Maskel, Viro Donim. We'll do all the Rashis later when we finish all the names. Let's just jump to this Rashi. Dibra Maskel, Vido Donim. Well, Allah Noemer, Vido Donim. There in Chumash, it's not. Here it says the road with a resh, and here and there in Chumash it's with a dalit. So what's going on? Because here in Divrei Hayamim we are referring to a tekufa when Klal Yisrael are sinners, and when they're sinners, then it's lashon of rodim. Rodim means to rule. When Klal Yisrael sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes that Yavon, the nation of Yavon, will rule over us. But Chshayad Yisrael Takifa, when Klal Yisrael is strong, when we are tzaddikim, then they are best friends. They are cousins. Yafd Elokim Liefes, the Yishkoin, the Ohol Eshem. They become our cousins. They're our best friends. We invite them. They give us their beauty. The beautiful things of Yavam become incorporated within Klal Yisrael. So, Chshiyad Yisrael Takifa, Heim Oimim B'nei Doideinu Atem. You are our cousins. You are the children of our uncle, which are cousins. B'tchilu Hayu Nirim. Now he has another B'shad. B'tchilu Hayu Nirim Ki'oyavim. B'shas Hano Asan. Now he has another interpretation, which seems to be saying, originally they appear to be our friends, Shas when it's good for them, Lusayf right the Mohem, but at the end is they rule over us. Now Rashi, I don't know what Rashi is saying. Rashi appears to contradict himself. First he says there are two different kufas. When Klai Yisrael is Aisim Yisrael Shal Makam, then they're going to be when we're sinning, then they're going to be our enemies. And but when Yata Kifa, then they're our cousins. And then Rashi says they're a bunch of fakers. When it's good for them, they make believe they're our friends. And when it's not good for them, then they go and they rule over us. But Selchur, it's totally Zebezeh. When we are doing with Sinishal Makam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it that they are good to us, they appear to be our friends. And when we are not doing with Sinishal Makam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that they rule upon us. This fits perfectly in line with all of the Torah from Chanukah. This is Yavan. Yavon, we use Golus Yavon, but on the other hand, Yaf to Lakim Yafes, the Yishkoin Bahol Hashem. From Yafes, and what is Yafes? Yafes is Yavon. Yavon is Doidanim. They will be incorporated, the beauty, the Hoid, the Yoifi of Yafes is subsumed within Klal Yisrael, Hodar, and Yoifi, Hidr Mitzvah, that is taken from Yefes, and that is alluded to from all places. Where would you imagine such a thing? It's also alluded to in Divrei Hayam, here in Pasuk Vav, Viroi Donim, that compared to Vido Donim. Here, it's because they rule over us, Golus Yavan, we're sinners, in contrast to the beginning of Chumash Bereishis, Vido Donim, they are our best friends, they are our cousins, children of our uncles, and they're good to us. We take the miles they have, we bring them into Klal Yisrael. Next, Pasuk Ches, B'nei Cham. Now we finish pretty much, we have gone through 14 different people, 14 nations, two slight variations, Rifas, Difas, Doidonim, and Roidonim. Now we go to the next nation, and we go to B'nei Cham. Who's B'nei Cham? So we have 15 to 18, Kush, Umitzrayim, Put, Uchin, Noan. Ah, okay, now we go to Canaan, we know the nations of Canaan. Who are the nations of Canaan? Uvnei, first we go to Cush. Cush is 15, goes down from this little tricky here. Uvnei Cush, we have Siva, Vachavila, the Savta, the Ra'ama. So everything is the same. And now we come to the Savticha, period. Now in Chumash, There's another one. In Chumash, there is also Nimrod. Okay. There's also Nimrod that is a descendant of Chum, and he's not mentioned here. Notice he's not mentioned here, and in Chumash he is mentioned. Uvnei Ra'ama. So Ra'yesh Einam Koylem Es Nimrod B'Cheshem Shem Umos Ra'kmonim Polishtim B'Mekoymo Polishtim Nimrod was in the Polishtim. Okay, so Nechanami, but the Polishtim. Okay, we count the Plishtim, that's from a different line. That's from Mitzrayim. Okay, let's go further for now. Uvnei Ramah, who are the children of Ramah? 22, we go down to Sheva, Uvnei Ramah, Sheva Udedon. Okay, so we have here, there's another son to the child of Cush, Nimrod. Shkedait, people don't know this. You think about Nimrod, who are Gibachayo, who was he? Who was his father? His father was Cush. Who was Cush's father? Chum. He's not from Yefes. He's not from Shem. He is the one that is making trouble for Avraham. The one that made the first one, our first antagonist, was not Yefes. Our first antagonist was Chum. Chum was Nimrod. And he was Cush, the oldest son of Cush. And then we came to Eretz Yisrael, we had Tsaris with the other children of Chum, Canaan. It's good to get the picture, world history. Who made trouble for us? The first one to make trouble was Nimrod. Nimrod threw Avraham into the Kivshon Ha'esh. Who was Nimrod? The father, the son of Cush. Who was the son of Cush? Cush is Chum. Chum is the brother of Shem.
And then Nimrod reappears, not by name, in the war of the four against five.
With Lot.
Which was all designed to get at
Avraham again in Echanami. So Chum is the primary. Yefes comes later in history. Yefes is, we wait for Yefes much, much later. And we deal in the meantime with Shem, B'nai Shem, it's Esav. I mean, our internal. Let's go right. Okay, a few more illustrations and we'll stop. We're out of time. Pasuk Yud. Kush, what about Kush? Yolad Es Nimrod. So here we give him special credit. Besides the fact that we already mentioned B'nai Kush, we also, it's interesting how we say it twice. Pasuk Tes Uvnei Kush Suva Vachavila. Right, we go through all the names. Nochamal V'Kush Nochamal Yolad Es Nimrod Hu Heichel Liyos Gibor Baritz. He was the first Gibor. He was the first one to control people. Until this time, it appears there was no such thing as an Evet. You know, you do whatever you want. You know, you mind your own business. You don't work for anyone. The first one to say, you work for me. To me, scary stuff. Who Heicha Liyai Skibor Baritz, he introduced this concept of abuse. First, he was the first one to abuse people. Okay, let's go right. We're running out of time. Mitzrayim Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk 16. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Now we go to the number 16. Mitzrayim Yolad Es Ludim. Ludim. The Yud is silent. Mitzrayim gave birth to Ludim. V'yes Anomim. V'yes Lehovim. V'yes Naftuchim. V'yes... Oh, now we come to two interesting nations. We come to V'yes Pasrusim. V'yes Kasluchim. What came from these two nations? Asher Yotzu Misham Pilishtim. V'yes Kaftarim. From the two nations called the Pasrusim and the Kaslusim, came from them the Kaftarim and the Pilishtim. And not like in Chumash. In Chumash, okay, but came from them these two nations. But we know Rashi tells us that the Plishtim were Mamzerin. Why? Because these two nations, the Pasrusim and the Kasluchim, they would exchange wives. They, even though they were married, but upon occasionally each one would switch wives. And they would switch wives, they'll become pregnant and have children. So, and what was the name of the child that was born? The children that were born formed a group, their own family. They were called the Plishtim. The whole Sefer Yoshua, dealing with the Plishtim, they're all descendants of Chum, who had, one of them had two sons. Chum had two sons. Well, you have to go in order. He had a son called Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim had two sons called Pasrusim and Kasluchim, and they were not loyal to their spouse, their wives were not loyal to them, and they produced Mamzerim, produced the nation of Pelishtim. And so that means the Pelishtim are all Mamzerim. And the nature of a Mamzer is Chutzpah. Uchnetzach, Isha, Zona, Pasuk, that the forehead of an Isha Zona is your chutzpah, it's an expression. Chutzpah is a result of Mamzerus. And it all comes from the chutzpah of the Pelishtim, comes from these two nations. Okay, Pasuk Yud Gimel.
How many generations you are Mamzer?
They perpetuate, it doesn't make a difference. They're Sherish, the root is Mamzerus, it goes all the way down from the very beginning. But Pasuk Yud Gimel, Uchanan Yolas Tzidoy. Now we go further, now we go to Canaan. Canaan, I just want to finish up because we're out of time. Okay, well, I apologize to you. I don't mean to be rude. So I want to finish up.
Details,
I don't know if whatever I know, I tell you. I don't know the answer to your questions. You ask very good questions. I don't know the answer. Pasuk Gimel, Luchanan Yoledas Tzidon. Now we come to Canaan. Canaan gave birth to Tzidon. B'chor his first born v'yes Ches. Number two is Ches. V'yes Hayvusi. V'yes Hamor. V'yes Hagirgoshi. V'yes Hachivi. V'yes Ha'arki. V'yes Hasini. V'yes Ha'arvodi. V'yes Hatzemari. V'yes Hachamosi. So all of these are the same. B'nei Shem. Now we go to B'nei Shem. We go to 45. Elam, the Ashur, the Ar Pachshat, the Lud, the Aram, the Utz. Then we go now, we're skipping. Notice what he's doing. He's not telling us in Chumash, it's more precise, where Aram gave birth to Utz. The Utz, the Chul, Geser, the Meshach. So here it's not like in Chumash, there are some discrepancies. We don't make mention that it was Aram who fathered 50 through 53. Next, Pasuk Yud Ches, the Ar Pachshat, number 47, Yolad Es Sholach, the Shelach, Yolad Es Ever, Ul Ever Yulat Shnei Vonim. Shem Wechot Peleg Ki V'yamav Niflug Haaretz. It was in his lifetime when there was a Der HaFloga. V'shem Achiv is Yoktan. V'yoktan Yolad Es Almoidod V'yes Sholef V'yes Chatzarmoves V'yes Yorach. Chatzarmoves was a place where they yearned for death. They had a hashkafa where they couldn't wait to die. They dressed themselves in crazy clothing and they did crazy things, and they loved death. Why did they kill themselves? I don't know if they loved death so much, but it was a very strange culture, and that's why it's called Chatzar Moves, the courtyard of death. V'yes Hadoram, V'yes Uzol, V'yes Tekla, V'yes Evel, V'yes Avimoel, V'yes Shiva, V'yes Safir, V'yes Chavila, V'yes Yevav. All these appear on the sheet. Kol Eila B'nei Yoktan. Now Shem Ar Pachshad, Sholach. Then it goes back to our chart. Okay, if we go back to the chart, okay, now we're up to Pasuk, then we'll stop over here, Pasuk of Dalet. But what we've done over here, until Pasuk of Dalet, is really a combination of two charts. Okay, we have two different charts. We have the first 10 generations, Adam through Noach. Noach gave birth to Shem, Ham, and Yafes. We have mentioned that Adam, the first generation, break them to three series, Adam, Shes, and Enosh. Then we have Cain, Mahalalel, Yared, Chanoch, Mishloach, and Lamach. Then we have Noach, the father of Shem, Ham, and Yafes. And from him came the 70 nations of the world. Broken up here, there are very few differences, two spelling differences. We have the issue of Nimrod. Nimrod, we have an issue if Nimrod is counted as one of the 70. He points out over here as one of the 70, or the Pelishtim is one of the 70. Here it mentions both. In this psukim it mentions, but if you really count all the names, you're going to have a total of 71, not 70. You have to minus, you have to deduct one. Right? Count every single name here, it's 71. So the question is it Nimrod? Is he going to be number 26? Or are we going to count the Pelishtim as the number 26 and get rid of Nimrod? And we do have a few little discrepancies with the Kasluchim and the Kaftoirim that we mention. We mention the Kaftoirim and the Pasrusim and the Kasluchim produced two nations. See, that's another discrepancy between Divrei Hayam and Chumash. Here in Divrei Hayam it says that number 31 and 32 produced two nations. They produce the Kaftoirim and the Pelishtim. In Chumash doesn't say that. In Chumash it says that the Kaftoirim were just regular children of Mitzrayim. And the only one that was produced, the only one that the Pasru Sim and the Kas Luchim produced was the Pelishtim. Okay, that's one discrepancy. Another discrepancy is we're dealing with Aram, number 49, 41 through 53. We here count B'nai Shem, we go straight. He had all of these children, we count Utz, Chul, Geser, and Mash as the direct children of Shem. But in Chumash we do not do so. In Chumash we count Aram, Utz, Chul, Geser, and Mash as children of Aram. Okay, so we've gone to the 70 nations, and these 70 nations are going to correspond to the 70 Nefashos of Klal Yisrael that went down to Mitzrayim. From those 70 Nefashos, Klal Yisrael was built. As a Zelum Azeh, these 70 nations appear first in the scene. Klal Yisrael will produce 70 nations, they go into Mitzrayim, Yochev was built by Nechemos, and that's going to be the 70 Zelum Azeh Boro Elokim. Okay, we'll stop here.